Today on this special episode, we'll be doing a preview of the 96th Annual Academy Awards. This is Doctor vs. Comedian. I'm Dr. Asif Doja, and this is the Doctor of Laughs.
Not a real doctor.
Ali Hassan. Now, typically, every episode, I pick a topic for Ali from comedy and entertainment, and I question him about it. Then Ali picks a topic from medicine and health and grills me on that topic. But today, we have a special episode. Today, we'll be previewing the upcoming Oscars telecast, which will be occurring on Sunday, March 10th.
We do have one medical issue here, which is your debilitating disease that makes you watch every single movie that comes out all the time. No? Is that not a condition? Although, that said, and I know it isn't, but there are some conditions that are in some of these films that we should probably in the future.
We'll do a little mention when you see something like this. Yeah, we just thought we've been doing this every year for the past few years, so we thought we should do it again this year. And of course, this is actually our first episode back from our hiatus, so it's a bit of a special episode. As Ali said, no medical topic. But next week, don't worry, we'll be back with our classic episodes of a medical topic and an entertainment topic.
Don't worry. I want to know how many people are worried about that also.
A lot.
Write in if you're
worried. A lot.
Write in and let us know how much that keeps you up at night. But it's good. We like it.
Okay, Ali, let's get started with talking about the Oscars 2024. These are the 96th Annual Academy Awards. It'll be coming at you on Sunday, March 10th.
They grow up so fast.
Yeah, I got some trivia for you, Ali.
Oh, please.
Do you know who scored Killers of the Flower Moon?
Robbie Robertson from the band. He died, dude. He died in 2023. It's a very sad thing, but he and Martin Scorsese had a very nice relationship over...
Yeah, I didn't realize that they had done a couple movies together. Well, Scorsese filmed the concert documentary, The Last Waltz, which is obviously about the band. And then I guess Robbie Robertson did Kings of Comedy and The Irishman and a couple others. But this is his first Oscar nod and he gets it posthumously. Mm. I always want to pronounce that posthumously, but that's not how you say it. We're not going to go over all the categories, but we're just talking about the scores right now. So we might as well talk about Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny. That was the classic John Williams. Guess how old John Williams is, Ali?
He's got to be almost 80.
92.
That's insane in that it's not insane to be 92, but to be working, it's not an easy life. It's not an easy role to play as a director. That's crazy.
Obviously, he's known so much so for working with Steven Spielberg, George Lucas. He's been nominated 54 times for the Academy Award, and he won 5 times.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Anyway, great composer, probably the greatest composer for films from the 20th century. So we'll see who will be for the 21st century, eh?
Yeah, we'll wait for that anxiously.
Okay. So, Ali, why don't I let you get started introducing the categories and we can go through each of our picks.
And do we want to do what we do every year, which is I start at the wrong place with Best Picture, and then you go, no, we're not starting with Best Picture. Okay. Anyway, we're going to start with Original Screenplay. 5 films in this category. I like this category, by the way. We're starting with it, which makes it seem like it's Loserville over here, and the hot stuff is Best Actor, Best Picture, that kind of stuff. I love Original Screenplay. So first we have Anatomy of a Fall, which is actually a French film. Some people need to know that before they see it, but it is a movie called Anatomie d'une Chute, a French legal drama.
Oh, a chute is like a slide, like chutes and ladders?
It's 2 things. A chute can be like something that falls down, like rapids or falls, or actually falling. Exactly like English, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like exactly what you think it is.
Okay. Next.
The next is The Holdovers.
Oh, yeah.
The next after that is Maestro, and then May December, and then Past Lives. This is a very good category.
Yeah, no, for sure. A lot of good films here, but I tell you, I really liked, I'm just thinking my picks. I really liked Maestro, but I love The Holdovers. I love that movie so much. I thought it was so well written, so warm, so charming. I just love that movie so much. I don't know if it's going to get a lot of other praise in the other categories. So I'm going to say The Holdovers for this.
I'm going to say The Holdovers also. The only movie I haven't seen here is May December. Now, people are like, oh, why didn't you see May December? Don't you care about this part-time career as a podcaster? I'll tell you why I haven't seen May December. You have to be in the mood for a movie that is, let me just, about a middle-aged sex offender. It's the Mary Kay Letourneau story. Some people will know it, some people won't. This is a woman who was 36 years old, well, committed a crime by having sex with a 12-year-old. Eventually, they go on to get married. It's a crazy story. She's in prison, delivers her first baby with him, put back in prison because she violates her has her second baby with him in prison. It's a wild story. You got to be in the mood for it. And I have never found myself particularly in the mood for it yet, but I do have to watch it. And Past Lives, great. If you don't know what Past Lives is about, Korean film. It stars, and you might not know her name, Greta Lee, but Greta Lee was fantastic in The Morning Show.
Okay, yeah.
She was really great, and she is great in this. This is a directorial debut by Celine Song. She's never done a film before. Anyway, so these are all great. I don't know what to tell you, and I have to say, The Holdovers, now it's a tough category because part of your heart goes to, like, for example, in this case, Paul Giamatti's performance, or Divine Joy Randolph's performance, right? Or even this kid, I don't know this actor's name, but he's a supporting actor as well in this movie. It's great. The setting is great. I don't know. This is why I watch movies with the subtitles on, because this is where you can see the writing as well. And I have to say, I feel like I can put aside the performances, which, as you suggest, most people have, because none of these, there's not that many other holdovers. You don't think they're going to win, but they're in there.
No, I think it's a great movie. We'll talk about it later. Dominic Sessa, by the way, is the name of the...
Dominic Sessa, yeah. I thought he did a fantastic job.
This is like his first movie. He was discovered, auditioned for this, and discovered for the first time for this movie, yeah. So
he does a very good job. So I think, having just watched The Holdovers last week, having read the script as I watched it, I think I can honestly say that that's a top contender here for this category. Original screenplay. We both agree, The Holdovers. And Maestro is excellent, but I will get to that in a couple of other categories. Adapted screenplay is the next category. So adapted screenplay, also remind people what adapted screenplay means versus original screenplay. I know people can figure this out, but I want you to show off some of your expertise.
It means it's adapted on another property. So usually it means it's a book, a TV show. It could be a fiction book, a nonfiction book, but it could also be something like Barbie. So because the Barbie characters were created by Mattel, then that's why Barbie's an adapted screenplay. Very unusual that that's the case, but that's one of the ones in this category.
Yeah. So Barbie's one of them. You spoiled it. American Fiction, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. So again, these are all great films. This is going to blow your mind. I'm going to say Barbie. Again, fresh in my mind, and also just kind of like was nothing that I expected it to be. And it's best adapted screenplay, and adapting a toy and turning it into this, consider me impressed.
I think you are correct, and what? I agree with you that I think it's going to be Barbie. There's another political reason for this. Greta Gerwig, we'll talk about this later in the Best Director race, she was snubbed for Best Director. No nomination, which is crazy. This is one of the highest grossing movies of the year. It's one of the best movies of the year. Obviously, her direction and her vision is what made this movie. So really a bit embarrassing that that didn't happen. Not embarrassing for her, embarrassing for the Academy. So what the Academy often does is they give people the consolation prize. And so they probably will give her this as the consolation prize.
Okay.
The other two movies I think are competing very heavily in this category is Oppenheimer, of course, which I think, spoiler, is going to sweep a lot of these awards. But Poor Things, man, that's the most recent movie I've seen out of these. I just watched it yesterday. It is a crazy movie. It's just so unbelievable that they came up with this script. It's based on a novel from several years ago, but it is just so unbelievable, so funny. You cannot predict what's going to happen in the movie. It's so well done. So my heart would say Poor Things, but I think logically it probably is Barbie, as you said.
Poor Things, by the way, Yorgos Lanthimos directed, Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe, Rami Youssef, Gerard Carmichael, you may not know him, terrific, terrific comedian. Quite a cast. And I'm personally in a place in my life. There's a few people like this. Bradley Cooper's one of them. Ryan Gosling's another. And Emma Stone is another. Whatever they're doing, I'm interested in watching. Occasionally, you'll be disappointed when you do that. But hey, that's life. Nothing is promised to anybody. Right, Greta Gerwig?
Well, yeah. And for Poor Things, I mean, I will recommend it. It is very racy, let's say, and don't watch it with your kids, but it's very funny.
What about your older parents?
No, that would also be awkward.
Okay.
It is kind of science fiction-y, Frankenstein's monster kind of story. So, but from a feminist point of view, I actually thought it is good, but Barbie is a movie about women's empowerment that is just done slightly better than Poor Things. So like I said, Poor Things is, I liked it a lot, but if I'm comparing these two, it would be Barbie.
Sounds good. We agree, which is uncomfortable for me. All right. So let's get into Best Director. Okay, Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, and Justine Triet, for Anatomy of a Fall. I am going to go with, and this is contentious, I'm sure, but I'm going to go with Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon. And I'll tell you, this might be petty. I can't believe you were just saying yeah there, but it's very personal. It's very personal. Now, I watched Oppenheimer this week in three parts, obviously. I have a life, and it was very tough to squeeze it all in. I found it phenomenal. I can't believe how fast-paced a three-hour movie can be. It was constantly moving. I can't believe how much I enjoyed a movie about a scientist, a physicist. I mean, it's like out of my...
Yeah, nuclear physics.
Quantum physics is not my thing, you know? So, but I never was like, this is getting boring. It really moved along. Like, here's the thing, all right? Let me just say this. This is the Best Director category. I am still not over what happened. Picture this. It's the pandemic. Everything is closed. You can't do anything. Finally, the theaters open. What's in theaters? A movie called Tenet by Christopher Nolan. And this is your one moment. You know that the theaters will probably close again, but you have this, you've been kept out of all these social things. You go with two friends, you sit in the perfect seats in the theater, you've got popcorn and snacks, and you are ready for Tenet. And within 30 minutes, this movie makes no goddamn sense, and it continued to make no goddamn sense for the next 2 hours. So I really was so angry with Christopher Nolan. And again, I'm owed nothing by Christopher Nolan or any director. However, because of the pandemic and how much that movie experience meant to me, I was like, buddy, you screwed me real bad. So I still have these weird feelings about Christopher Nolan. I thought Oppenheimer was fantastic. Way to come back from that Tenet debacle. But I still think Killers of the Flower Moon has really puts, because it's more of the same of Christopher Nolan. I thought this is Martin Scorsese reaching another level of direction, which is crazy given his age.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I have a lot of, not a lot, I have some problems with Oppenheimer. Is it because of the directing or the editing? I'm not sure, maybe more the editing, but and Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon is really good, but it's always tough. It's what do I think's going to win and what should win? I'm probably going to go with Christopher Nolan, though, on this, even though you dislike him immensely. I'll tell you, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, well-directed movie, but he does this thing in his movies where he has this fish eye, like a fish eye. It's like a very wide angle. Yeah. And it's super annoying. He does it all the time in his movies. I can't stand it. It's similar to J.J. Abrams, who you guys might know from Star Wars, The Force Awakens, etc. He always does these lens flares. It's like the camera is catching a light. And once I've pointed out what a lens flare is, look it up and you'll see it so many times in his movies, it's so distracting. It's so brutal. And it takes you out of the movie. And this guy's fisheye camera thing does it too. So he can't win because of that, even though he made a good movie. So like I said, probably going with Nolan for this.
Okay. I will say that you just said something to the effect of, I hate Nolan so much. I don't. That's not true. I loved Memento. I loved Dark Knight, one of the greatest things that's ever been on a screen ever. I mean, he's a phenomenally talented and gifted, you know, he's an incredible director. We're lucky to have him. I just still felt these like slight, you know, burning embers of like, I don't know. But I'll tell you what the real, I mean, that's just, I wanted to put my pettiness on display. But really what the issue is I think with Killers of the Flower Moon, I think Scorsese's connection to this particular community in, you know, the Osage Nation, I think he went above and beyond and really kind of did something for this native community, this indigenous community that, I don't know, it was heartwarming to hear about outside of the movie, and it made me enjoy the movie even more. So there's that element that does not exist in Oppenheimer. And as far as actors go, there's the most phenomenally talented actors are in both.
Yeah, agreed. And I think Scorsese, I mean, some people criticize it, you know, shouldn't this movie have been made by a, you know, First Nations or Native American filmmaker? You know, possibly. But it draws attention to this insane series of crimes that have just been overlooked by America. And I think that's important. And very similar, something happened years ago in the television show Watchmen, which was a superhero TV show, but they talked about Black Wall Street and how in the US and how, you know, these rich African Americans who basically, like, all this Black Wall Street area in Tulsa, Oklahoma was destroyed in one day. And I never even heard of either of these things till
I heard of it in 2023 for the first time. Yep.
Yeah. And with Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon for the Osage Nation. So I think there is something to be said about raising awareness for these issues. So, yep, no, I understand where you're coming from, Ali, for sure.
Yeah, I think also, you know, I understand the comment about shouldn't this be done by an indigenous director, but I think there's also something to be said for somebody with Scorsese's money and clout and influence raising awareness about something that he doesn't have to do, right? That's he doesn't have to go in this direction. He didn't need to find this particular script as tantalizing as he did. And
yeah, DiCaprio didn't have to agree to it, all these things. And listen, as you said, him and Spielberg, in my opinion, are the two greatest living directors right now. And the fact that he chose this, I think, is admirable, to say the least.
All right. So we agree. You are wrong about Nolan, and Scorsese should win Best Director. So the next category is Best Supporting Actress. I mean, just phenomenal. Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple, America Ferrera in Barbie, Jodie Foster in Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. From my perspective, I went back and forth between Emily Blunt and Divine Joy Randolph. I know a couple of other things Divine Joy Randolph has done. I've seen her in that, I can't remember the name now, but the Steve Martin and Martin Short murder mystery.
Only Murders in the Building.
Only Murders in the Building, which I should really, once I've said the word murder, it should come to me. She plays a different type of character completely in that. And then,
oh my gosh, I just realized that was her. She's the police officer in it.
Yeah, but you see the vibe there, right?
Angry, oh yeah, she's totally. Oh, it makes me like her performance even more in The Holdovers because I didn't even realize it was her. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying to you. Now you see like what kind of range this woman has, right? It's like, it's very nice. This tenderness that we see that she has, like also a strictness, but also a tenderness. I felt like there's something so beautiful about that. And Emily Blunt, I'm a massive fan, but I didn't feel like she got to stretch her legs from a acting range perspective in this film. I know what her range, I know she's phenomenal, but in this film, I didn't feel like she got to do as much. So I'm going with Divine Joy Rudolph.
How about Divine Joy Randolph, which is actually her name?
Did I say Rudolph? Randolph. Sorry, bud. Yes.
So I'm tending to agree with you in this list. I think Jodie Foster, obviously classic, you know, actress. So I think America Ferrera is nominated a lot because of the speech she gives towards the end of Barbie, which is a great speech, don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure the rest of her acting in the movie is, I don't think she's getting a lot to do with in the movie. Similarly with Emily Blunt, I don't think she has a lot to do in that movie either, as you said. She has also a great speech towards the end of the movie where she's defending Oppenheimer in the kind of interrogation room where they're being questioned. That's amazing, and it's clearly a great acting job in that scene, but I don't think she's been given a lot. I love Danielle Brooks from Peacemaker and Origin of the New Black. I think, you know, it's an honor just to be nominated, probably. But Divine Joy Randolph, I just loved her character so much. She brings, as you said, so much warmth, and it's just a great performance. A very layered. I think she was the best, so definitely my pick as well.
Okay, so we agree again, which is getting kind of gross at this point. Let's go to Best Supporting Actor. And of course, I'll just prepare you. We'll have the Best Actress, Best Actor, and Best Picture coming up after that. So Best Supporting Actor, there are five. Sterling K. Brown, just truly one of the best actors of his generation. Robert De Niro, I don't know if you heard of this kid. He puts his head down. He focuses. He could be something one day for Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling in Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. This is a hell of a category. These guys are wicked. I struggled with this a fair amount, and I struggled also because I hadn't seen American Fiction with Sterling K. Brown, but I know his work is always so good. The amount of tears that flew out of my eyes in This Is Us and so many other things he does. I'd love to say Sterling K. Brown, but I don't know American Fiction. I'm going to say Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things.
Yeah, this is a tough category as well. I love Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. He is so funny. It's just such a good performance. Oh my God, he's so good. His line readings, no one else could do them like he does in this movie. So amazing, so funny. Similarly, Ryan Gosling in Barbie is just an amazing guy. Like, again, Canadian guy, grew up about an hour from where I live. He's from Cornwall. Do you know that?
I did not. I thought it was London, Ontario. Ugh, Cornwall.
I think he did in London for a bit, but in fact, I know a couple people, three people who were in a dance troupe with him, and it's a famous dance troupe that they've shown him dancing with on TV when he was probably like 12 or something like that. It's on the Graham Norton show and things like that. So several of my friends danced with him in this kind of viral video.
Wait till my children find out that you are 2 degrees of separation from Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I could call him up right now. He is so good in Barbie. I think people maybe underestimate how awesome he is. And I was reminded of this. I was re-listening to, those of you who've seen Barbie, there's the song Push by Matchbox 20 features prominently in the movie, and that's all I'll say about that. But he does a cover version of it, and I was listening to that song the other day, and the way he purposely mispronounces the word granted, I want to take you for granted is part of the lyrics of the song, and he's screwing it up and mispronouncing it in the way that like a 90s band would do it. It's just so funny. He's clearly thinking about the jokes and how to deliver the lines all the time. He's so good. But I do think a lot of these categories, as I mentioned before, they want to give people their flowers, and the person who in this category, he's been around for a long time, who has not won a major award is Robert Downey Jr. And I think he's amazing in Oppenheimer. I think all the performances are great in that movie, but he is so good. So I think it's going to be Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. I wouldn't be displeased to hear that. I think ever since his comeback after a deep dive into the world of drugs and alcohol, I think both of those he was addicted to and came back. It's just been phenomenal ever since. Ever since, what is that one with Jack Black and Ben Stiller and, like, God.
Oh, Tropic Thunder. Yeah,
ever since Tropic Thunder.
He was nominated for that too. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's just been fantastic ever since. Okay, all right. Well, that, good luck to all these gentlemen. Now into the Best Actress category. Also very difficult. Very difficult to be like, this is a clear winner. But Annette Bening in Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller, that might be how that umlaut is pronounced, Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan in Maestro, and Emma Stone in Poor Things. I mean, if we're giving flowers, maybe Annette Bening is going to get some recognition here, but I really, Lily Gladstone, looked like a veteran of screen. What is it called? A veteran of stage and screen, like as though she'd been acting her whole life. It was very impressive. And Carey Mulligan, I would consider having been like flawless in Maestro. Never once was I like, this woman is acting. It was just so well done. And you're playing this character in Maestro that has this weird phoniness to them too, right? Like both Carey and Bradley Cooper. Oh, darling, please. No, darling, I told him, darling. I said, no, you can't, darling. I was speaking like that for a day and a half after watching them. I'm going to go with Carey Mulligan in Maestro.
Yeah, I think in this category, it's probably going to be Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. A few weeks ago on Saturday Night Live, Michael Che made a joke because basically Lily Gladstone should win. And if she doesn't, every other actress is going to have to apologize for winning, you know, because Lily Gladstone is the first Native American actress to be nominated even for an Oscar and has a chance of winning. So
she was also the first Native American to win the Golden Globe for Best Actress, right? That's already happened. And now she's nominated for this Academy. Yeah.
So I think, as you said, she's phenomenal. Like, you really can't believe someone who's a relative novice actor is that good. I also love Carey Mulligan in Maestro. And that was probably going to have been my pick. Except, as I mentioned, I just watched Poor Things. Emma Stone, in my opinion, is the greatest actress working today. And it seems such a strange thing to say when you have the Meryl Streeps and everybody else out there. She is, I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's also because I've watched The Curse recently, the television show The Curse, and I thought she had the best acting of the year in that. And then I watched this. It's such an amazing performance. Essentially, the plot of this movie is that she is a woman who commits suicide, who's pregnant. So they save her body, but they put the fetus brain in her brain and take out her brain. So then it's like a fetus growing in a baby's brain growing in a adult body. Anyway, it's confusing and weird, but you can just imagine how difficult that might be to act. And she is just the best. So even though I think Lily Gladstone is also very good and probably should win because it would be such a historic moment, my gut or my heart is going with Emma Stone because she is just so good.
Look, I told you about whatever it was 25 minutes ago, I will watch anything that woman is in. Her acting choices, her performances are just so good. It would bring me great joy to see her win that. I get a little bit like, oh, who are they going to vote for? Who is actually going to, right? But if it was actually in my heart, I'd be very, very happy to see Emma Stone win. Okay. Best actor, Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. Also very difficult. I haven't seen Rustin. I've watched the preview for Rustin. There's no reason I shouldn't see that movie. Chris Rock is in it as well. A bunch of like amazing actors. Colman Domingo himself that looks like, you know, a career-defining role. And this guy is like...
And he's a great actor. He's a great actor. I love that guy.
A lot of theater, a lot of screen. You look him up, you'll see some of the stuff you've seen him in. I haven't seen Rustin. Now is where I start thinking about who are they going to give it to. And I don't think it was going to be Colman Domingo in any case, although I haven't seen it and I'm 100% certain I'm going to love it. Paul Giamatti, I don't think that was his best, The Holdovers. Jeffrey Wright, I mean, this guy just feels like he's so low-key good. He's so low-key good. It's like, are you even acting? Or did you just come on set not caring today? And then he does a couple of things and you're like, wow, he really went somewhere. I mean, again, a great, amazing choices. But I feel that low key thing about Jeffrey Wright might get him ignored this year as well. And we land up at Bradley Cooper and Cillian Murphy. And man, I was 100% team Bradley Cooper, as I almost always am. I saw a lot of Bradley Cooper interviews about his process and, reading interviews. And I just fell in love with this entire thing. And then I saw Oppenheimer this week and I no longer know. I no longer know. I think the two of these men, have done such a phenomenal job. I won't be unhappy to see either of them win. I'll just say Bradley Cooper for the sake of breaking my own tie in my brain.
I feel the same way about these nominees as you did. Maybe like Paul Giamatti's performance a bit better. Like I really did think he displayed a lot of heart. It's quite good, but I agree with you about all these guys. But I remember walking out of the theater with Oppenheimer. Remember, I had some problems with Oppenheimer. But I said, there's no way Cillian Murphy is not winning Best Actor. It is clearly the best performance of the year, especially when you've seen him in all these other movies, right? Batman Begins, 28 Days Later. It's a completely different character. And so I think he is just so good. He really put it all out there. So I'm going to go with Cillian Murphy.
Okay. I wouldn't be unhappy. All right. Final category, Best Picture. We have got 10 films here in this category, as is often the case. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. They have all been represented somewhere in the last, what did we do? We did like 8, 9 categories here?
Yeah, in all these categories, yeah.
Which is not always the case. Sometimes you have something that's Best Picture and nothing else. This, I think, is going to go to Oppenheimer. Let me just tell you why I think this. When you are on set, you are filming, you know, whatever it is, 60 to 100 scenes, let's say. They take a bunch of days, but like you go a few days, like you're filming in this area, you're filming in this area. The number of scenes in this movie, sometimes it is just a close-up on a desk. Sometimes it's just a long shot, Albert Einstein. Sometimes it's, I don't know. There's just so many shots that they just did to get some perspective or context. Nobody's even in it. The amount of work is what I'm basically, the amount of work that went into this film by the actors who had so many scenes to do. And the editors, because the movie flips back and forth. You told him what? I told him this. And then he's back on sort of like a trial. They keep saying it's not a jury, but he's back here being questioned about his actions. And then he's in the I just thought from directors to editors to cinematographers to musicians to actors, the amount of work that was poured into this movie is noticeable. And I think that puts it a little bit as a front runner of the rest as Best Picture.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree with that.
I wasn't even going to watch this film, dude. That's the craziest part. I wasn't even going to watch it. I was like, I don't have time to watch a 3-hour movie. And then we were going to do this episode. I was like, I better watch this movie. And here we are. Crazy.
Well, my thinking is, like I said, Barbie and Poor Things, very different movies, trust me. Like one you should take your kids to, one you probably should just watch without them. But they both deal with this idea of female empowerment. I think, like I said, Barbie does probably a better job. So those are, you know, getting up there in terms of the best movies I've seen this year. Maestro, I really liked as well. Ali, we've talked about that before, both offline and on the podcast. I do feel bad that Bradley Cooper, I just don't think he gets the recognition he deserves from Hollywood. I don't know why. Maybe people don't like him or whatever. I don't know. Like, it's nice that he's nominated, but I don't think it's going to win.
Well, you had said to me, just to flash back a little bit, you had said that your concern about Maestro was that they made this film to win an Oscar. It was like Oscar bait. Right?
Yes. And some movies are made like that and you kind of dismiss them like that. Even if it was made like that, I think it's a great movie.
Great. Okay. Good to know.
Amazing performances. So, yeah, it's hard to say, but the two best movies I saw this year, I think, are The Holdovers and Killers of the Flower Moon. I think those are probably the two. And it's going back and forth in my head. They're so completely different movies. The Holdovers is kind of getting a bit more prominence, but it's because, again, I've seen that more recently, so that could be the reason why. They're both amazing for their own reasons, but I do think Oppenheimer is going to win. And like, again, for my faults with the movie, just to remind people, I think it should have been a 2-hour movie followed by a 1-hour movie. Like, there has to be an intermission in there somewhere because I think it went on too long and I think you need to take a break during it. I don't think the time jumps work that well. I think that they could have been.
See, that's funny because, of course, you saw it in a 3-hour, you saw it in the theaters. So you would have that perspective where I'm like, it was so fast paced and everything worked. And I loved how they took two breaks. No, they didn't. I took two breaks. So I have a completely different perspective on this film. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
The time jumps back and forth. I'm not sure they really worked. Emily Blunt's character could have been a bit more detailed. And I'm just going to say this right now, okay? Christopher Nolan is very proud of the fact that he only used practical effects in this movie. No CGI effects, no computer-generated effects, all practical effects. Let me give you a little spoiler for people who haven't seen it. You can tell that they didn't use any CGI with the atomic blast because it looks like somebody just made this in their backyard. Like, the problem is, Mr. Nolan, that we know what an atom bomb detonation looks like because we have video evidence of atomic bomb blasts in the past. So when it doesn't look like that, there's no mushroom cloud. You're like, well, what is this? It's like you put off a firecracker in your backyard. Anyway, I'm being a bit mean about this, but I do think that kind of fails.
I mean, I am concerned that Christopher Nolan, when he listens to this, is going to be a little hurt. That's what my main concern is now.
Well, Ali, despite all that I said, it is very good movie.
Well, there
you go. You know what? It is a good movie. Those are minor shortcomings. It is very good. The achievement is definitely there. As you said, the directing, the amount of work that went into this, the performances. So I do think it's going to win Best Picture.
Wow. Even though you said your two favorite movies were two others, Killers of the Flower Moon and...
So this is like, you know, do I go with my heart or do I go with my head? This one will go with my head. I do think Oppenheimer is going to win, even though if you have not seen The Holdovers or Killers of the Flower Moon, definitely see those movies.
And Maestro, for God's sake.
And Maestro, too.
And Barbie.
And Poor Things. And Barbie. Just see all these
and
movies,
Past
for
lives.
God's sake. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, it's tough. Tough year. I think it's a tough year because I've seen almost all of them. That's why I never find it tough. Most years, I'm like, yeah, maybe it wins, maybe it doesn't, because I haven't invested in it. But this is my big thing with films. You know, I'm making an investment. It's my time. That's why I will leave a film sometimes. It's like an hour in, and I'm like, I don't like it. I don't like the character. I don't like the journey I'm on. I don't like the journey of this lead character. I hate everything about this person. I'm out. And my wife will be horrified. Like, wow, you've already invested. I'm like, yeah, this is me showing respect for myself. So having invested my time in these films and having gotten so much in return, I don't know. I'm grateful for all of these films. Movie making is back, baby. Hollywood. Woo!
So that's our episode for today. Let us know what you guys thought about our Oscar picks. And of course, hopefully you listen to this before the Oscars, and then you can take a look and see how right we were. Were we correct in our picks? Were we wrong? And did you agree or disagree with what we thought? DrVComedian@gmail.com, DrVComedian on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are everywhere.
Yeah. And in our house, just an FYI, there is a hockey analyst named Craig Buttons. Craig Buttons is notorious in our house for being wrong on everything he predicts. Like, he'll be like, okay, this is who is going to be in the NHL playoffs this year. And it's like one team out of 16 teams he picks is correct. The rest is all like completely off. He's like, these guys are going to make the Cubs. So in our house, it's called, you know, if somebody makes the wrong call, we go, wow, you really Craig Buttoned that thing. So write in and let us know if we Craig Buttoned anything. We might have. But I don't think we will.
No, I'm going to make a prediction right here, especially this year. As Ollie said, we've seen so many of these films and we love so many of them. I'm going to predict that between me and Ollie, we've correctly picked all of these.
Oh.
If I don't get it right, Ollie will get it right. And I guarantee you, I'm guaranteeing, and if I'm wrong, you can message us and let me know that we're going to get every one of these picks correct between the two of us. Hey, that's going to make you definitely watch the Oscars this weekend on ABC. I don't even know what channel they're on.
Just remember, he's not your doctor.
Yes, exactly, Ali. Remember.
I mean, you didn't say one medical thing here at all, by the way, so I don't know if you have to worry about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about the medicine in these movies. Well, we talked about Poor Things, about taking out a baby's brain and putting it in an adult woman's brain. So, yeah, I mean, I think talking about a baby's brain being put in an adult woman's brain, that is certainly some medicine, not realistic or non-gross medicine, but it's definitely a possibility. possibility. So yeah, see, we talked about that. So even though I'm a doctor, I'm not your doctor. Medical issues we talk about are for your interest and information only, and they're not medical advice. Please consult your medical professionals for actual medical advice. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.